Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. You know what time it is. That sound coming through your speakers means it's time for the Sunday Rise, presented by the Sideline Junkies in conjunction with Clear Production Sports. Up this way, the one and only Midnight Rider. And then on this side here, the show's host, the big guy KG. Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm awake and I'm alive.
Always good things. Good things, you know. Fellas. It is, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of our NFL mock draft special. And just in case you were living under a rock or, you know, whatever, we went in reverse order. So we started at the end of the first round with the Super Bowl champs and way back into the top of the draft. So now things, we're in the meat and potatoes of teams that, you know, need a little help here and there, some teams that need to retool, and some teams that are probably rebuilding. So without further ado, gentlemen, what pick are we starting at today? Are we starting at 18 or 17?
17.
So 17 would be the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yes.
Okay. Duval!
Where's Duval Paul?
Yeah, that's who we need right there for that one.
We can get him on Tuesday.
You know what's crazy? Before we get into that, you know who my new favorite player is? Greg Nelson. I just want to put that out. Greg Nelson, Alabama, new favorite player. Put out an ACC foe for me.
Oh, boy, here we go.
You know what's crazy about the end of that game? He missed both free throws. North Carolina didn't have – look, guys, North Carolina didn't have any timeouts to situate a play, and he ended up blocking the Hail Mary for Carolina to the prayer. It was just like, man, you know that guy that does commentating on the NBA things, where he'd be like, cross, has he stepped back through? Ooh, yeah. I was doing that every time Greg Nelson had. So, yeah. I just wanted to throw that in there before we get to these things.
Wait, but let me say this. I said it last night because I said I had to give the new Min Sumo 2%. But I was hoping that the Midnight Rider was watching last night during the WrestleManiacs, presented by the Sideline Junkies in conjunction with Clear Productions. Make sure you check that out on every streaming platform, video and audio. But how about them Tar Heels, though?
Where's the how about the Cowboys when you need it? I'm not on the board. I mean, where is that when you need it? This is perfect. And then I made a comment, and I had to scale back the comment. I said, well, Tar Heel fans, don't worry about it. Just throw on your Yankee gear. How about this Cowboys? Damn it. I said, well, just throw on your Yankee gear. But the crazy thing, the Yankees ain't won nothing lately. So I guess it would be Astros or Giants.
Astros or Giants, yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. I just, you know, because I'm not the baseball guy, but I believe like over the last, 10 years, it's been the Astros and Giants kind of dominating, I think. So, yeah, somebody could correct me if I'm wrong. But we have picks to get to. We have NFL picks to get to. So, without further ado, we're starting at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their needs are cornerback, wide receiver, defensive tackle, offensive tackle, and offensive guard. Off the top of my head, they did lose Calvin Ridley to Tennessee. They re-upped Josh Allen, their big-time pass rusher.
The real.
And I'm about to say, as Duval Paul likes to say, the real Josh Allen. So let's put the GM hats on and think for a second. If you are Jacksonville and you're sitting at 17, where you go? Big guy, you want to start? And I know the Midnight Rider is going to go a little bit more in-depth. You want to start off and then swing it to Midnight Rider?
I do. Because I think Jacksonville is in a brilliant spot, and not draft wise, because middle of the draft is never where you want to be. that 11 to, I'll say 11 to 20 range is not where you want to be middle of the draft. Because you'll, first round talent is first round talent regardless.
You but think so? Like,
I do. I mean, it's not bad as NBA, but I think you're surefire. You hit between 1 and 10. I think 11 to 20, you get really good players, but you don't get impact players all the time.
I don't agree with
disagree.
That.
Yeah, I really disagree with that.
I'm not taking in. I'm when I say impact, I'm talking about guys within the first year or two. They take over and they become.
I totally disagree with that.
It's not all the time. It's just my opinion. My opinions does not reflect the rest of the guys at the sideline junkies.
I'm gonna say one part, and I know Midnight Rider is gonna say something else. I think this is one. If you're evaluating your talent like you're supposed to, and you know you're addressing your needs, but this is prime real estate also for one of those teams that's sitting 25, 24. That's like, that is my guy right there. That's my guy. What do you want to get up there? You said 17. I'm gonna give you my. You're still gonna be in the first round. And then I'm gonna give you some more stuff that's going on with this package. What you want?
I'll give you that.
You know,
that's it. That's think about it like this: the Commanders at that time might have been the football team, might have been Bill Biv DeVoe, might have been Prince, formerly known as the Redskins. They were 2 years ago, traded 12 to New Orleans. Picked up, I think, 17, and then picked up a second or a third from New Orleans in that deal. So this is prime real estate because this is where you start getting the guys, KG. You know, last year when we did the draft and Pittsburgh jumped up in front of, I want to say, New England and took the tackle because they were at 17 or 18. And then the Commanders got on the board and we had Gonzalez sitting there ready for us to take because he's a cornerback. He's 6'1". He's 205. He fits everything that you have been saying before because you took the kid. What's the other kid? St. Juice? You took him. So why would you go from St. Juice? I mean, it's a natural fit, right? You go from St. Juice to Gonzalez, but instead this team took Forbes. So,
Matty Ice said, just got to find the diamond in the rough. That's true.
Yeah.
Xavier checking in from around the corner. Good morning, guys. Good morning, kid.
Good morning.
Now here's my thing. Jacksonville is still in a good situation. And I'm gonna ask a couple of questions and then I'll turn it over to you guys. First and foremost, you still have Travis Etienne, who we talked about it the other night. Remember when Cedric Entertainer was talking about Big Luther, how his curl didn't just curl over? It just didn't quite curl. That's Travis Etienne. His curl ain't quite curled over yet. So you got him at running back to Ernest Johnson and Tank Bigsby. Now, the boss said about receiver, they signed Gabe Davis. They got Devin Duvernay. They got Zay Jones. They got Christian Kirk. You got four receivers right there. And just talking offense, do you think it's going to be a quarterback controversy of some sort? Like we're used to here, where you have Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, who's going to be your starter? Thanks for taking my call. I hang up and listen.
Why'd you call me? No, I'm joking. Mac Jones, I'm not, there's no controversy. Only person calling and making that controversy is Mama Mac Jones or Papa Mac Jones. Trevor Lawrence. The Jesus of, I mean, it's funny that you even bring it up, Trevor Lawrence, on Easter Sunday, the Jesus of quarterbacks. There's no. This kid's been donned the quarterback of the future since he was in like eighth grade. He's in no competition with Mac Jones. That's the last thing that the Jacksonville Jaguars, home of the real Josh Allen, have to worry about.
You know what the Jacksonville Jaguars have to worry about for the first time? Probably since we've been doing this podcast, maybe not, that they are not the favorites to win this division.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they have to worry about. This so it's going to be it's a lot of teams loading up. If y'all haven't been paying attention to NFL free agency and trades, like the Jets are loading up. The Jets are loading up. They feel like this is they could win the Super Bowl, but Houston's sitting down there, and don't forget they're going to add to what they just did last year. So Jacksonville got some catching up to do. It's going to be interesting to see. You know what they, you know how they retool, but I mean they had a really good team. They just got they're a little inconsistent at times. That's all. So, Midnight Rider, if you're picking, where you going with the Jacksonville Jaguars? Where you going to help them? That's a good Josh Allen. I think I'm gonna have to do a KG Kids pecking order now. Good Josh Allen. Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Somebody gonna slide down the rankings today.
Boy. And ain't no bottom either. Woo! Just gonna keep sliding. You're gonna be the numbers in front of you gonna be empty. I'm at 97. You don't have 97 kids.
So if I'm Jacksonville, I think KG said it the best early. When he just ran off the list of wide receivers on this team. And I would have to go really with the kid from LSU, the other LSU wide receiver, Brian Thomas. He's the one that everybody's projecting to be the fourth wide receiver in this class. So I think Jacksonville will go with him. If it's not him and somebody falls, the one person that this mock I'm looking at right now has fallen is Terrion Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama. Not Kool-Aid, but the other corner. So that's another option for Jacksonville in this situation. What's the other needs? D-tackle. I don't think they'll go with Byron Murphy, the kid from Texas, in this situation because I think they would believe that they can get a D-tackle later on. Offensive tackle isn't a pressing need, but if they wanted one, this is where you get the guy Guyton or Amaris Mims. And if you guys don't know, from 12 to 17, I'm going to start saying some of the same names over and over again because we're at that point. The guard situation, unless they do that Oregon kid, Johnson Powers, I don't see them really going with a guard slash center, but that's kind of where I'm thinking Jacksonville is at this point in this draft.
Now, something you said at the top, and I need clarification. You said about drafting a receiver at 17.
Yeah.
You already have four, so who's your odd man out? You just signed Duvernay, you just signed Gay. Who's your odd man out?
Go back to that list.
Yeah, there's no number one receiver on that list.
Go back to that list real quick, KG.
Hold on, let me get to it.
Those receivers fall in where they fit in.
Gabe Davis, Ronnie Duvernay. Those are two new ones. Zay Jones and Christian Kirk. Those are just four that I named. You know, they have Elijah Cooks, Tim Jones, Parker Washington, and Seth Williams, who I know are not number ones. But
what's your favorite line from the movie Temptations?
Ain't nobody coming to see you. Well, that's not my favorite line. That's not my favorite line.
But no.
It works though, baby.
I think my favorite line is he ain't me. He ain't no David Ruffin. But
No.
It's different.
Come on, just give the line. This is what they do in Hollywood. You gotta give the line. Come on.
Ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis.
Yeah, it is. Nobody coming to see Gabe Davis and anybody else that you just named. So they got to get a receiver to lead this core because I think they thought they had Ridley in the bag, and obviously you didn't. And if you watched Jacksonville last year, their struggles was in their receiving core. When everybody stopped Ridley, they had nothing else. You know, it's like going to a concert and trying to see New Edition, but Ralph Tresvant isn't there. Ain't nobody come and see Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike.
Now,
here we go.
Here's the thing, too. Here's the thing, too. You know what I'm saying? We talk about
singing Cooler Now. Bobby ain't singing Cooler Now.
Well, it's not even the point of that. But you sit there, you disrespected the king of New Jack Swing. Don't ever disrespect Bobby Brown like that in my presence again.
I never said anything wrong about the king of R&B, Tevin Campbell. I ain't never said nothing.
Moving on. Go ahead, boss. Because this is going to get out of hand.
What I'm saying is, I would be interested to see if they draft a cornerback here. Because I always say you have to draft to what your division is doing. And Houston is lighting that thing up in the air. So, they sitting at 17, depending on if Arnold's there or whoever's there, do they move back or try to move forward to try to get a guy that can make the impact KG is talking about and help slow Houston down? Then right. You're hoping that what you put together in the receiving core now, you know, in our heads, these aren't number one guys, but you have a good enough quarterback that can kind of maybe make some sense out of that. I don't think that receiving core is going to get you a deep run in the playoffs, but it can be serviceable. But you got to weigh your options here. Do you want to go back and forth for Houston and it be 49-48 every game and you can't stop them? Because we've seen that when you can't stop somebody via i.e. Buffalo, Kansas City, you can't stop somebody on defense, offense don't matter.
So the only other kid that could be in this mix, and it's two, and I didn't want to because I don't think he's gonna get to the Jags. And it's the only reason I didn't bring him up is the Toledo kid, Quinyon Mitchell. I think he's like 6'2", 210. He had a good 40 time at the combine. But I just think with the teams in front of them, I don't think he makes it to them. So that's why I think it's between him and Arnold. And we all know how the draft falls. There's always a kid or two that all mock draft season – as I like to call it, they're higher up, but then they start to free fall a little bit. And yes. I think that's where we are in this pocket of the draft.
Okay.
All right.
We ready to wrap up Jacksonville?
Yeah, I'm good.
It's good.
Ball it up and throw it in Duval Paul trash can. Ball it up real good. Kobe.
Oh, you know what? I'm losing it. Pick number 16, and I'm sorry to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, so Seattle Seahawks at 16. Their needs, offensive guard, is that say offensive center?
Yeah.
Linebacker, defensive tackle, and cornerback. If y'all give me a second, I thought I had the – I guess I didn't. Give me a second. Okay. Go ahead, y'all. I had the I'm trying to get the salary cap back up. I had it up.
You want me to start that Midnight Rider?
Sure, that's not a problem.
Okay. Offensively, I don't think it's gonna be a quarterback controversy, but they got Sam Howell to go with Geno Smith. At running back, you have Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker the third. Receiver, you got one, DeKalen Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. You also have Noah Fant at tight end. I think if you keep whoever the quarterback is, if Geno plays all 17 games, great. If Sam Howell has to come in and spot duty, great. Whoever your quarterback is, you keep him upright. And I think they should invest draft picks as well as money into this O-line to fix that. Because, you know, one of their unrestricted free agents is the legendary future Hall of Famer, Jason Peters. But he's what, 41, 42?
Yeah, he's yeah.
I'm not going to say he's done, but I don't want to put him out there. And this dude has been through, what, two ruptured Achilles, and he's still going strong? I'm not putting him back out there at left tackle, no matter how great he is. But if you put a quarterback – I'm sorry, if you put a line in front of whatever quarterback you use, I think they may contend for the NFC West. And when I say contend, I mean really contend. I'm talking about last game of the season contend. So, Midnight Rider, who we picking right here?
Hold on. You going to just disrespect my man Jackson Smith and Jigba, the wide receiver from Ohio State. Like, Tyler Lockett, and I mean, it should be Metcalf, Smith, and Jigba, then Lockett in your order of importance to this offense going forward. And I think no offense.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Because we think differently. So
Tyler Lockett, because he's the wily vet. He's your possession receiver. He's for lack of a better term, he's your Art Monk. It's third and seven. You need to pick up a first down. You go to Tyler Lockett.
I got you. I understand what you're saying, KG. I'm just saying that Smith and Jigba is the future of this offense. And with that being said, I'm looking at Matt's comment, and I totally agree. I think the offensive line is the spot they go here. So I think a spot for them, this might be the spot for a guy like J.C. Latham or Amarius Mims, the kid from Georgia. And if they want to go interior, the guy we've talked about is the kid from Oregon. Jackson Powers Johnson is another possibility for this group. I don't see them going corner because I think their corners are solid. I think their D tackles are okay. And this draft class isn't good enough at linebacker for anybody to be considered at LB this high up in the draft. So I think this is honestly an offensive line pick. It just depends on where they want to go and who's available to them.
Now, with them needing both guard and center, could this be a scenario where, you know, like we talked about with the Jags, where one of those teams that are looking for a certain player and they go back in the first round to go get that guy can still be there for that, and then they can get a couple other picks, maybe address another need, you know, as far as like, you know, picking up another second round pick or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we said this when we started, it's like, this is the spot, this is like that little honeycomb where the talent on most boards are level at this point. So you can move back, still get somebody that you value the same as other guys. You know, this is like your third tier maybe of talent. And you might have eight guys on this tier. And if you can get one of those eight, you're okay with it. So this is a great spot to trade back. For sure.
KG?
I'm down with O-line here, and I think it sets you up really well. So I can go with O-line here.
I mean, you just said they got rid of Jason Peters as their, I guess he was their left tackle, and he's 41, 42 years old. So
I mean, they just didn't re-sign him. I ain't gonna say they got rid of him. They just didn't re-sign him. But
yeah, but you're not signing. You're only signing. Or you're dealing with Jason Peters out of necessity. You're not doing the Jason Peters thing as a way to build in your future. So that's why.
You're not giving them a five-year, $80 million deal and be like, hey, man, you're going to be a Seahawk until you 48. Right. You know, we're not doing that. If someone's injured, I'm damn sure going to call them off the couch.
Exactly. You know, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, and that's why I said Latham, the tackle, first. Because that gives you somebody that you can build into the future with and going forward and try to solidify either your left or your right side, depending on which one has the bigger need. And you could possibly kick somebody. Because I know they drafted a tackle in the last 2 years. And I think he's playing right tackle right now. But you can always kick somebody over to the other side and start anew at your right tackle spot. And the reason I just think guard and center, you get a guy because most guards can play center, most centers can play guard. So you can get you a guy to play that the right guard or the left guard. And if need be, you can kick him in the center to solidify your O-line.
Any final thoughts there, boss?
The cap number for the Seahawks is $3.1 million right now. That's just them at 28th. Bottom of the tier. I don't remember them being in cap trouble. I didn't pay attention to Seattle, I'm not going to lie. But I don't remember them being in cap trouble or being big spenders in free agency. So that's something to consider, too. And that's going to be, if that's if they, I don't know if they got any more contracts to redo or whatever, but I mean, $3 million is not a lot.
Yeah, but $3 million can easily become $7, $8 million.
Absolutely. Whatever. Absolutely.
The second you re-sign anybody to a deal or extend somebody, that's where you get your cap freedom from. It's almost like the cap is almost to me like that troll under the bridge where you got to answer the questions to a riddle. it's there, but it's not really there. Or that leprechaun beside that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Like, people talk about it, but ain't nobody really seen it. So, yeah.
All right. We wrapping Seattle up, big guy?
Yes, sir. On to the next. Coming locally to Baltimore. The Indianapolis Colts. You are now on the clock.
Pick 15, Indianapolis Colts. Their needs are defensive tackle, wide receiver, cornerback, edge, and safety. The cap number for the Colts, they are sitting at 14th. They got almost $17.5 million. So, gentlemen, Indianapolis Colts, where are you going? You got Michael Pittman back. Where do you go? I mean, they're in that AFC South too.
So they re-signed Pittman, right? I think for them, this is a defensive pick, unless, and the only caveat that takes them off of defense is if somebody, and I don't see the Jets passing this kid up, but since we're doing the draft in reverse, I have to at least mention his name in this scenario. And that's Brock Bowers, the kid from Georgia, the tight end that does everything. He's the only person that I can see Indy taking that's not a defensive player. There's no safety that we're going to take in this spot. They'll probably get the safety either in the second or third round. Edge-wise, this is a play spot where the kid from Florida State, Jared Verse, is very possible to be there. Very possibly the person they take. The other person I can think of them taking is one of the corners, and this is where we're talking about the Terry and Arnold, the Quinyon Mitchells of the world, because this is where we are in this draft. This is also a spot where, again, we've said this all show along, and we're going to say it until we turn blue in the face. This is also a cornerback. This is a spot where trading back is a possibility. So we have all those options in front of us.
The Colts defense allowed 350 yards a game, which is bottom of the league, like bottom 10. 44 TDs allowed. So, yeah, if I'm them, like I say, you can still get, you know, we're going to talk about this because it's just one of them spots where you can, like the Midnight Rider said, you can trade back and grab you some more picks and also get a defensive player that can start for you day one that fits your system. And I agree with Matt. I think this has to be defense. You got to kind of roll with what you can go, maybe, you know, see what else falls in free agency, who else isn't happy as far as, you know, want to come in, you know, getting off another team or whatever. But you have to address that defense if you – because you're already in a division where you got two teams that one more balanced than the other, but I think Houston is probably top tier when it comes to offense when everybody's healthy. The receiver that got hurt for Houston, Midnight Rider, who was that?
Tank Dell.
You get that full ensemble back. It's that, like I said, you better get some cornerbacks out there quick, and maybe some pellet guns, you know. Somebody wear the big sideline trench coat and have some pellet guns shooting at people's legs and ankles and stuff.
Yeah. But no, you're right. And the other thing we can't forget is, you know, we got to figure out what Indianapolis did at the backup quarterback spot, because last year they had the option of Gardner Minshew. So when Anthony Richardson got hurt, the Gardner tended to the lawn and made sure things were right, and had them in position to almost make it to the playoffs. So Unfortunately, they didn't, but he did a good enough job to get them in contention for that spot and that opportunity. And I think Anthony Richardson, you got to have somebody just in case he does get hurt and he's out for a long period of time.
Well, they did go out and sign Joe Flacco, the comeback player of the year, reigning comeback player of the year. No longer on the sofa. He is an Indianapolis Colt. Maybe if you listen to Colts radio, maybe they're talking about, hey, he's probably the best backup we've had since Earl Morrill. Whatever. But you also still have Sam Ellinger.
Who?
Sam Ellinger.
What?
Who?
I wasn't saying that as saying that he was a force to be reckoned with, but I'm just saying you got
it. Yeah. Okay.
But I agree with what Matt said. Best D available. You got to go defense. You need a lights out player. You need somebody that's going to wreak havoc. You need a Myles Garrett. You need a Aiden Hutchinson. You know, there's so many teams that need that guy that is going to make a play when you need it, right when you need it. And you don't see too many bend but don't break defenses anymore. And if the Colts expect to win anything with this roster that they have.
Hold on. Say that back up. You said what? you don't see too many bend but break defenses?
Bend but don't break. It's not too many.
I disagree with that. Buffalo is bend but don't break.
But it's not. Name me five more.
I think the league is more of a bend but don't break.
Yeah, I think your top Kansas City. Sometimes Kansas, just look at sometimes how Pat Mahomes carry that. Sometimes they can be bend but don't break. And then Sometimes you can't stop Chris Jones.
That's
it
true.
It just all depends.
It's 2 out of 32.
Yeah, but I think we're talking about 20 teams that need that guy.
I think it's more along the lines of 22 to 24.
That need but no, that no, guy.
I'll stick with 20.
Yeah, it's about 20. So you got 10. But like I said, those 10 teams, you don't consistently, unless you have, I mean, like even Myles Garrett goes quiet sometimes. I mean, you have to pay attention to those guys, but I think the only guy I give that medal to of a guy that just at any moment can change the tide of game is TJ Watt.
Okay. I mean, y'all seem to be like, this is all I'm doing all day long. I'm blocking punches because y'all just throwing punches. I'm Ken Norton out this thing, man. Just like blocking punches.
Just call a timeout and get yourself together.
Now, back to my point. We're not doing that this week. I'm not putting up with that from y'all this week. Here's the thing. I think the Colts could be 8-9, 9-8 with the roster that they have right now. Anthony Richardson seemed like he was coming into his own before the injury. But this seemed like it would have to be a team thing. They would have to win as a team. It's going to be no set. Oh, this is the guy. It's going to have to know we got to win as a team. What they called it? God, I play enough Madden to know what they called it. Where the offense helps the defense helps the offense. Everybody helps the special teams. God, I can't think of the term. But that's what it has to be. Huh?
It'll come to you.
It will. It's going to come to me like 9 o'clock when I'm laying down and jump up. No, it's a special term, and I can't think of it. But that's what it's going to have to be for the Colts to actually be in the hunt. So,
and I understand what you're saying. You're not going to go out there. You can't go out there and just win with your offense. You can't win just with your defense. It has to be a unified effort across. The special teams got to play the field position game. You got to get good kickoff, y'all. It's you one of those teams. And I asked a question before we move on to the next, which is New Orleans, I believe. Do y'all think, you know, we talked about Anthony Richardson healthy, I think he can make it through a season. Is that going to be a concern from here on out, him staying healthy?
I think for now, until he becomes a better passer, I think that has to be the question. Because I think his legs are going to be his crutch for the next 2 to 3 years until he becomes a better passer of the football. He's got elite arm talent. I think I had him either one or two last year going into the draft because I thought his arm was better than the other guys. And I'm all about arm strength for quarterbacks. But I think he'll be okay. I think the other problem for them, or the biggest thing for them, is putting everything around Jonathan Taylor, letting Taylor be the centerpiece of this offense. And then everything else goes around it. You start getting Pittman involved. You get your other wide receivers involved. So that's where I would be at with that.
Big guy. What are you stewing over there? What's wrong, man?
Jonathan Taylor, 25 years old. He's about to hit that peak now. He's dealt with some injuries the last 2 years. The contract holdout last year, injuries the year before. How much did he just sign a 3-year, $40 million contract last season to come off the holdout? But how much more time are you going to wait for him to go back to the Jonathan Taylor of 2-3 years ago? If that doesn't happen this year, I think it's time to move on. Now, I've been sitting around you guys for quite some time, and you guys don't value running backs.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair assessment. For me,
but now, don't get me wrong. Jonathan Taylor is a talent. But how long do you wait for him to come back and be 100%?
I think the Midnight Rider said it best when we talked about the salary cap. If it don't happen this year, you cut your ties. You know, you cut your ties, you eat the money. And I wouldn't be surprised you see them take a back in the later rounds then to kind of prepare for that. You know, because we know the running back talent's out there. You can go get a running back in the 4th, 5th round to a back that fits your needs, which you want, depending on power or speed, or you want a utility back. You can go get that. And I wouldn't be surprised you see, you know, them address that 4th, 5th round. But nah, you start this year. You're like, hey, you got all of training camp. Your money's taken care of. Now we need to see on the field. And if you don't see on the field production the way, however the offense flows, if it's going through him, I need a Pro Bowl year. I need a first team year. If it's going through you, because you're touching the rock probably, what, 30-40% of the time, whether it's pass or run. So if you're getting the ball, if you got what you want with the money, and we're not getting production this year, at the end of the year, it's like, see you later, kid.
Matty Ice said Richardson seemed, in a short view, to be special. Question is, does the injury change him? I agree with him seeming like he was special, but it's mental. When coming back from injury,
what do you mean it's mental?
Because when you come back from a torn ACL, it's not like it was 25, 30 years ago. You know, I remember 30, 35 years ago, that was pretty much career, and you were never the same.
Right.
Now you come back, you have to have the confidence in that knee to do what you do. But you also have to do the work and mentally be there to strengthen the knee, do what you need to do to have the confidence to make those cuts, to run, to not be scared. It's a mental thing coming back from any injury. When he hurt his shoulder, he had to have shoulder surgery. Was that non-throwing? Or was that was throwing shoulder? Or was it non-throwing?
It doesn't matter, because with shoulder injuries,
you gotta be
the way confident. These guys work out. No, the way these guys work out, shoulder injuries, as long as you get it taken care of, you're good to go.
But you still gotta have that confidence, you still gotta have that mental edge to say, hey, I'm still the guy. I still can do this. So it's mental. Now that if he lets it mentally change him and it changes his game, that's understandable. But he has to be strong enough to know that, hey, he's still Anthony Richardson. There's no better Anthony Richardson than him.
Okay.
Just my thoughts. Just giving out pep talks on a Sunday morning.
And we appreciate those. We need those. And you're going to have to give a big-ass pep talk to the next team, which sitting at 14 is just New Orleans Saints. Because right here, I don't know what this team is. Right? Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Their needs. And I apologize this morning. I had everything. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. All right, so they're picking 14th. They finished 9-8. They need edge, wide receiver, offensive tackle, cornerback, and defensive tackle. Here is, before you get to any of that, if I'm the GM, I'm cutting Mike Thomas.
Already done.
Done?
Yep.
Where was I at?
I think he was a free agent.
He's gone.
Oh, shoot.
Okay. I'm late then. I'm sorry. And I'm a matter of fact, I got a call to make because the Swamp Queen didn't tell me that. Okay, so yeah. Now so you still got Derek Carr. So does the need become at 14? Does it have to be receiver to place Mike Thomas? Or do you have enough firepower there and you address something else?
You done did it so long without Mike Thomas. He hasn't been a factor for the last 4 years, pretty much.
Yeah, that's a hell of a take right there.
You got Chris Olave coming back. He got hurt last year, but you still got him coming back.
I like Olave.
How much more time do you give Alvin Kamara?
I think he's on his last legs, too. What are you doing?
You got the Swiss Army rifle.
I'm sorry. The captain went ape shit in the kitchen. Okay. Oh my God. The life of cat. I'm telling you, I just heard a noise and the cat ran out of the kitchen like somebody was shooting at him or her. I'm sorry. Oh my goodness.
Ricky.
I'm sorry. Big guy, please finish.
You got the Swiss Army knife and Taysom Hill. If Taysom Hill goes down, Derek Carr goes down, no need to fret, no need to worry. You got the great Nathan Peterman, who probably has the best Halloween meme of all time, where he holds the bucket of candy and say you can only pick six.
That's stupid meme, but I get it. For the Saints, I think this is prime real estate for a lineman. I think this is prime real estate, their hopes and dreams of their offense. I think this is Bo Nix territory. You draft him, sit him behind Derek Carr, because hopefully next year you have a ramp or exit ramp to get off of Derek Carr.
Absolutely.
If you don't like that, you also have the option. and I apologize for this name that I'm about to say, but there's the Oregon State Talese, I think it's Fuaga, F-U-A-G-A. He's a tackle. I think one of their tackles, Ramzik, the kid from Wisconsin, isn't playing this year. So I think that's their other option in terms of addressing the offensive line. In terms of defensive tackle, I don't think they would take a tackle here because I don't think the tackles are elite enough to make an advantage. They could go edge with Verse or the kid from UCLA, Latau. But outside of that, I really think they're either
is that me or is that Midnight Rider?
That was Midnight Rider.
Okay. We lost you for a second. Repeat your last 10 seconds.
So I said, I think it's either tackle, edge, or quarterback. I don't see the other two needs, the guard and the D tackle, being elite enough for them to get in that spot.
Here, right here, this comment right here.
Saint Matty Ice, Saints are an aging team, time to blow it up and start a rebuild.
And you know what the Midnight Rider just described? Rebuilding a team, going to get your offensive tackle, getting out of the Derek Carr sweepstakes next year. So you have your tackle. Right. You maybe can address the tackle and a receiver this year. You get that nice quarterback. You're in the top five in picks next year. This is a bad football team. Let's just say this is a bad football team. 9-8 is because they played Carolina twice. Okay. And who else? Atlanta. If they were in the AFC North, they would be fighting for Caleb Williams or whoever, Jaden Daniels or Drake May. They trust me. This is a bad football team. I agree with Matt 100%. It's time to blow this thing up. All right, it's time to call in a napalm and let it rip. The big guy said something about Kamar. I don't know what his contract looks like, but I'm getting up from underneath him. And Midnight Rider said another name. I forgot. That's another guy. And him and Mike Thomas must have been on the same boat because he barely plays. Ramczyk, he barely plays. So they had a boat together. I think
he actually said he's not playing this year.
Okay, he already said he's that?
Yeah. I think he's already out for the season.
Okay, yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it's not surprising. He barely played anyway. I would love to know. I wish we should take a name on what the Ramczyk Mike Thomas boat name is. Because you know you gotta name your boat. I would love to know what the name of that boat is.
Say hey, no play.
Freeloading. One of them. It gotta be something.
Here's the thing. Midnight Rider said something. He said Bo Nix would be good right here, but I don't think they go Bo Nix. I think they go Michael Penix Jr.
Gosh, KG, I wish sometimes there are things that you don't take the context clues on. So if we could do pick 13.
Oh, sorry.
Hold on. I'm trying to get New Orleans is sitting at 22nd with almost $9 million of cap space. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay.
Pick number 13. Give me – cue that music. We have the Las Vegas Raiders.
Raiders are on the clock.
And we'll start from the coaching change. The coaching change with Antonio Pierce is going to – I think it's ushering in a whole new environment of the Raider of yesteryear. They really love this guy. I think you're going to see a whole different Raider team. They finished 8-9. Biggest needs, and this is what the Midnight Rider was just talking about, quarterback. Interior offensive line, offensive tackle, cornerback, and running back. Midnight Rider, if you get a GM of the Raiders here, you got your GM cap on, talk to me. Because Big Guy KG said something about 30, 45 seconds ago. I'm going to slide it to you.
It's a natural transition. I mean, this is – if the Raiders really want to move up to get Jaden Daniels, I don't think it's going to happen. And in this mock draft that we're doing, we don't do trades. We stay to the core. But in the words of Desmond Howard, the Raiders have some Penix envy. So they're going to take Michael Penix Jr. here in this spot. This is the spot for this guy. They have a need for quarterback. You're not going into next year with Aiden O'Connell. You're not doing that. So the move is get to quarterback. And if you can't move up to get him, stay where you are. And like the biggest fallacy that has been known to man outside of the devil not existing is the fact that Michael Penix isn't a mobile quarterback. Like everybody forget his Indiana tape. Like they look at the kid in Washington and like, oh, he's slow. No, This dude's an athlete. He ran a 4.46. He's an athletic quarterback. Like, let's stop lying. The real reason y'all mad and the reason the world is hating on him is because he's left-handed. Let's be honest. The world is anti-lefties when it comes to quarterback play. And that's the only reason he's not in the top three. They don't want to twist their offense to make it apply to a left-handed quarterback. And I stand on this mountain hill, 10 toes deep, that we are, we have some type of stigma against left-handed quarterbacks. The world doesn't like this.
Oh, here's the thing. We got a couple comments. The big dog said, "Wake up, Chicken and Friends, home." The cold chicken special, 2 pieces of cold chicken, $1.99, 7409 Craddock Way on Columbia, Maryland. Y'all sound like y'all sleep. Wake the hell up. Now we up.
No. He got, like, yesterday, he left with like three of them. So did I. Catfish, dog, I'm telling y'all. One of the best catfishes I've ever had. Chicken Friends, they do their thing. My cousin came through. Eric Willer, he was there yesterday with us towards the end, and yeah, it's man, food off the hook. I think I spent $70 there, because Josh got like a 10-piece. You know what's amazing? And I'm gonna say this because y'all have kids, so it's amazing how your kid has no respect for your wallet when they ordering food. They just order whatever. So this joker came out with like a 10-piece. Party wing special with fries, and then turned around and got like another chicken sandwich with fries. And I'm just looking like, yo, dog, what are we doing here?
not only do they not have respect for your wallet, but when you're ordering stuff, and you know, in your head, you already got your preset spending.
Exactly, you know what you're spending.
And even you're looking at the extras that you want to put on a chicken or add to it. You like, out of these four, that's my fair. I'm gonna get this one. These jokers and added everything. Two of them.
Yes.
Two of them. Nah, give me the extra large drink. No, oh no, I upcharge 150. Yeah, that's fine.
Yes, sir. Man. Like, I left out yesterday. I was just like,
all drums.
Yeah.
All drums. Upcharge 50 cents per piece. Yes, that's fine. That.
In the words of the late great David Arnold, have yourself one of these things called a family. It ain't right for the week.
Yeah, I love all that joint. Yeah, man. So last night, I think I finished up my fish, and then this morning, I think I got another cold chicken 2-piece left. Because I ordered three because they $1.99. So, I mean, you can't get mad at that. And then the only thing is, sometimes that cold chicken is two wings. Sometimes it's a wing and a leg. Sometimes it's a thigh and a leg. Or a thigh and a wing. But, I mean, for $1.99, and explain the concept, just so for those that don't know, like, they want their chicken fresh the whole time. So there's 30 minutes or 40 minutes that they have for the chicken to sit. And then after that point, it becomes cold chicken. So if they don't serve it, it's there for you, the consumer, to partake of. So you have like this guarantee of always getting fresh chicken unless you get the cold chicken.
So basically, it's guys like yourself standing outside with a stopwatch. And they you're looking at the window. They like, this dude again. You like, 5 minutes left. 5 minutes, baby. And it's cold chicken time. Get this guy out of here. Get this guy. I'm going to call the police on you.
So I order cold chicken no matter what because it's there. I mean, and that's the funny part, too, is, like, sometimes people complain about the time it takes for your order to get ready, but they're trying to give you everything fresh right then and there. So, you know, they're not having to sit under a hot lamp or anything like that. So that's another part you got to worry about. But the food is good, man.
People will find anything to complain about. If you're worried about that, call your order in. That way, when you get there,
It's already ready.
They can hand it.
Oh, they got reckless because like yesterday, some lady came in. I think her name was Miss Pam. And like I appreciated the exchange because it was like, hey, Miss Pam, how you doing? Yeah, I know you got this, and this. And like they started coming around the corner with her bag because they already knew. So yeah,
you don't see that a lot no more.
Nah,
yeah. You don't see that a lot no more. That's you know, because you could go in a place, you can go in your favorite carryout, they barely know you.
Yeah.
What do you want? Hurry up and buy.
Well, I can't say that because my corner liquor store, all I do is either point or like tug the hat, and they already know it's either the fifth or the pint, but it's the Smirnoff vodka, and yeah, it's either the fifth or the pint.
I'll
just do this and I'll point because they know if I point this way, I got it on DoorDash. If I point that way, just get me the usual, and I'm paying with my card.
And when you tug the hat, all you hear is the bottle ting-ling-ling, and then in the bag, and it's done.
Sometimes, you know, it was so funny. It's one of the dudes that he wasn't hip to what was going on. So I think he finally got on board, like, yo, all right, I know what he wants. So I got to the register, and I went to say or point, but he had the bottle, like, literally right there in the bag. He was bagging it before I even said anything. I was like, all right, he hip to the game now. So, yeah. It's like you know, what's that cheer song? You know, you got to go with everybody knows your name.
That's all. That's it.
That's it.
Getting back to this Raiders thing. Go ahead.
I'm about to say, getting back to the Raiders.
Getting back to this Raiders thing. You said something, BJ, and I love what you said. You said the Raiders are starting to feel like the Raiders of old. They got Black Air Force One energy, and that's what Antonio Pierce brings. I'm not saying that we're talking, you know, we're going to start hearing John Facenda recite the Autumn Wind type Raiders, but they got that swagger about them. And resident Raider fan, Matty Ice, I'll be shocked if my boys stay at 13. They want to move up for the LSU QB, but not sure they can find a partner to get them. If they can't get them, they move down and get some O-line help. Either way, I can't see them at 13. He also says, I wouldn't be upset if they get Penix. I like them a lot. And finally,
so Matt is into Penix.
Yes.
He loves big Penix energy.
Pause. Pierce is at least verbal saying he likes AOC, Aiden O'Connell. And with the Gardner, that is the only reason if they don't get the one guy they want,
right,
they go a different route altogether. But I think signing Minshew, when you sign a veteran quarterback, my thought is always you sign a veteran quarterback, you get your rookie. Your veteran quarterback helps your rookie through the growing pains and things like that, because I don't believe every rookie should start out the gate at quarterback. I believe some rookies should – hey, hold this clipboard for a minute. Learn this game. Learn how to be an NFL player. And you learn from a guy like Gardner Minshew, you're going to learn, because Gardner Minshew is a student of the game.
But how do you know he's willing to teach? How do you know he's not Ryan Tannehill?
Because everybody's not assholes like Ryan Tannehill. If he wasn't willing to teach, he wouldn't have went to the
Everybody's not on camera assholes like Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, that's a great statement right there.
Ooh, I like that. I'll give you that. But I, you know what? I can't even call Ryan Tannehill an asshole for what he said, because he helped Will Levis. So he just wouldn't help Malik Willis.
Moving right along.
Guys, I'm watching the XFL, actually the UFL, and I don't understand why the NFL doesn't understand certain stuff. Like, the new kickoff rule is they're kicking off from the 35, and you have the two zones, the 40 and the 35, mm-hmm. and the landing zone and all this garbage that the NFL wants to incorporate. And it astonishes me that the people that make the most money don't have the most common sense. The XFL or the UFL and I apologize for calling the XFL because I see the defenders. The UFL kicks off from the 20-yard line. They stage their guys in different parameters around the 30, 40-yard line on the same side of the field as opposed to in the opponent territory. And it still limits the amount of contact, the high-speed collisions, and it takes away the option of having a touchback because you're kicking from the 20. And if your kicker's going to kick it from the 20 and out the back of the end zone, then you just got the greatest kicker in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, the one thing that astonished me in this whole process of the NFL changing their kicking rules is they never moved the football from the 35. Like, we have proof and evidence. You give me numbers on a dude with the swivel hip takedown and the number of times that causes an injury, but you can't give me the numbers on the number of times somebody kicks off from the 35 and the ball goes out the back of the end zone, and you don't address that. Like, it's like the NFL takes choices and picks when it wants to be offended about something. That's why my favorite saying, it's why we got 57 genders.
No. Since you made that statement, it's up to 80.
But the state, I can't change the statement. The statement is branded.
Right? 82 now. Here's the thing. NFL is very stubborn. They hide behind that shield because they can. They are super stubborn. Now, if I remember correctly, when the FXL first came out, certain leagues stole some camera ideas from them.
Yep.
Okay. They are very stubborn. They're very, very reluctant and slow to do things because you know what? We are the NFL. We do what the hell we want to do. When do you want to do it? How we want to do it? And it's very frustrating at times because the game has evolved and changed. Your players have gotten faster, quicker, stronger. That's why you're seeing so many of these, you know, these collisions when these defensive players are going in a tackle. You're seeing, you know, just different things you didn't see in the last, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And I think they're more worried about the appearance of the game. And then you still got your and I'm not saying this is bad, but you still have your KGs in the NFL that want to preserve what it was. And it's not that anymore. You can't evolve parts of the game and then leave other parts behind. It's not going to mess with it. Like the Midnight Rider said, if you're kicking off at 35 and you got all these great rules and the damn ball's going out the end zone every time, this is great, but we're not getting to see the product. You know, we want to see the ball return. Move it back. Your kickers have gotten stronger.
Right.
Not just the defense and offense. The kickers have gotten stronger. You're going to see that boy from Kansas City that Buffalo drafted the punter. That field, if he stays on the team, their field position is going to be immaculate. Do you hear me?
Immaculate.
And what was KG just talking about with the Colts, where one unit helps the other unit? I'm telling you, you see that Matt Ariza, he's going to change the game. We're talking about a punter. But
I got it.
Complimentary football.
That's it. I got it. That's what it was. That's what I was thinking about.
How did you come up with it, Midnight Rider? You knew it as soon as he said it.
Yo, we play a game of password. Everybody else outside of the three of us doesn't understand sometimes, but like I saw the light bulb because the light bulb hit me when you said a trigger word. I was like, complimenting football. And I was like, and I was about to say it. And then he jumped up and was like, I got it. I was like, yeah, complimentary football.
Yeah, it's like
wands.
Yeah.
And then also we all got, our brains are all over 40 years old. So like, yeah.
The whole show, when you got a brain over 40, I'm gonna explain this real quick. You got a brain over 40. The whole time somebody's in there turning the cog.
Yes,
it doesn't mean the motor started. But somebody's turning the cog. It's warming up. And then finally it kicked and it starts smoking. You're like, ah, there you go. Man, man. I think we're an hour in the show. Mine's yep. just kicked. Mine just kicked on 10 minutes ago.
Right.
So I'm just saying. One thing I want to say about the Raiders, and I know is this our last pick of the day?
Yes.
I think the Raiders are going to be one of those teams that teams. I think they're going to get the AFC West hell. I think they're going to be one of those teams where nobody wants to play them. Yes. Because it's going to be one of those things where they just everywhere. They're just unnecessary for good reasons. They're finishing tackles. They're not giving up on plays. They're driving people to the ground. I think that's what Antonio Pierce brings. Your offensive line, instead of giving up after the running back that went past you, they're driving you into the ground. They just make you tired, and they get on your nerves, and you just want the damn game over with. And I think that's what the Raiders are going to bring to the table this year. And that alone is going to win games because you're just going to wear people out. And if they're holding hands like Antonio Pierce had them doing last half of the season where they're playing together and they start believing in each other and they know they can lean on this person, that person, and they're going to stay – I'm telling you, they're going to take stuff – look, the littlest thing, they're going to take personal. Like you driving – I forgot the Crosby. If you block him a certain way – and our defensive line don't like it, you're going to hear about it the next quarter, and it's going to be in the play. I think that's what the type of team you're getting. If they can add something, and they got to be careful here because I think they have to go get a quarterback right now because Gardner is good enough to, if this team is playing like I think they can play, to get them in a wild card spot, which next year means they're going to be in the back half of the draft looking right. to try to get a quarterback. So if you can get your quarterback now, if you believe in Penix, you get Penix. If you want the LSU boy, if you can't make a deal, then those are your two options there. You get them. You got Gardner, like the big guy say. You got Gardner sitting there. You don't have to play Penix right away. Or you can. It depends on how he rolls and how you feel about him in training camp. But you get your guy, and now you can start building on that the rest of the draft and next year. And I think the Raiders – the arrow's going up for them, the trending arrow.
So the Raiders, I think they have a second-round pick. And if they do, there's three names around the second-round pick that they should have, like, circled, highlighted, and ready to go. And they're all running backs. It's Jonathan Brooks from Texas. It's Trey Benson from Florida State. And it's Jalen Wright from Tennessee. And that might be a little too early for Jalen Wright. You may want to take him in the third round, but – Brooks and Benson are definitely second-round picks. And if you can get one of those two guys put in your running back room to replace Josh Jacobs and to play alongside of the Incredible Hulk, Zahir White, I think Oakland's going to be – I mean, I'm sorry, Las Vegas is going to be in great position to dominate teams like the big guy and BJ says. I think the only problem with them is the way that AP coaches them. I think AP may have a 3-year shelf life. He may not have that 4 to 5 year shelf life because it is so abrasive. It's so in your face that I think this team might burn out on his message.
I got to disagree.
That's the problem.
I got to disagree.
Go ahead.
Because the reason why they turned it around was because they bought in. It was accountability. And being able to have a voice, they bought into what he was saying. And for people to say, I mean, abrasive is a rough word. I don't think it's abrasive. I think it's what this is, how you change culture. Because you can't keep being gentle with grown people. Oh, can you please do your job, guys? Can we come in? Can we make tackles? Nobody's winning like that. Andy Reid doesn't win like that. I'm sure Kyle Shanahan doesn't win like that. So if you can't handle being held accountable to do your job and having some, when you mess up, somebody holding you accountable and putting their foot in your behind them like, hey, you messed up. If you can't handle that, then you don't need to be here. If you're that soft that you can't handle somebody telling you that you missed your assignment, you missed the block, you missed the tackle, and you've consistently done it, we have a problem because you're not doing your job, and you not doing your job is holding us back, and you can't handle that, you need to go ahead and leave. Walk out that door right now. Your stuff will be put in a trash bag and in a box, and we'll send it to your next destination. We don't need you here. So if that message only has 3 years, that's a problem.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with the big guy KG here, and I'm going to tell you why. I think Antonio Pierce is smarter than that. I think that as his coaching tenure grows, as he gets more experience, one, he'll calm that down. But here's the big thing, too. He's going to have his guys. He's not going to have to – I don't think he's going to have to be as abrasive. He's going to have guys on the field that fit the mold. He's not – it's not going to be from him all the time. It's going to be from guys on the field and the assistant coaches. And he'll learn to become the guy they come to when those guys, you know what I'm saying, when they're getting too much from them, they can come to him. And he'll I think he'll grow as a coach that way. And he'll still have that abrasiveness. But I really think AP is about having guys that, like those, just those dogs on the field. And in practice, that matter of fact, your Rudy's in practice. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for somebody just mean that, never gives up, that goes 100%, that's going to push guys. And they might not make the team. They might be on a practice squad. But he's going to have guys to do – this is where your mobsters, you get the guys to do the dirty work for you. It don't mean you less abrasive. It don't mean you can't make the command to send the order in. But you got your mobsters out on the field, and I think that's where Antonio Pierce is going to.
Matty Ice said Pierce is a player's coach. She's holding everyone accountable, but at the same time showing players compassion. I agree with that.
No, that's I totally agree. I have a concern because we are in an era where the players aren't allowing themselves to be coached the right way.
And
I'm gonna say it that way.
That's a problem. Matty Ice also says, sad part is he has an owner that I'm not so really wanted to hire him. I believe it. He had to because there would have been a player revolt. Question is, how long is the leash?
Oh, yes, third Jordan Tiamo. Let's go, Defenders. Sorry.
So I agree with that. And the question, how long is the leash? This has to be a 5-year thing. And it's not going to take 5 years, but you have to let him do his thing. You got to do it.
Let him cook.
Ineligible down.
Let him cook.
You got to be.
Let him cook. I said, let him cook.
That's what you got to do to Pierce. You got to let him cook.
I totally thought you were going with a different soundbite, but okay.
Yeah, well. All right. Switch over real quick. NCAA bracket update. The Elite Eight.
Are we doing men's?
We're on the men's side, half of the Elite Eight is set up. UConn beat Illinois yesterday 77-52. That was a foregone conclusion. UConn and Alabama are set up for the Final Four. Alabama beat North Carolina 89-87. How about them Tar Heels?
You say they beat who? Who they beat?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Not Chattanooga?
Not Chattanooga. Okay. No, not North Carolina, UNC Asheville. No, they beat the Tar Heels.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Today, you got Duke versus NC State, OACC matchup coming up to set up the other side of the Final Four. And you also have, what is that, Purdue versus Tennessee.
I'm sorry. I was just doing my Juwan Howard imitation, because didn't he get fired? Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay.
But you already, I mean, it don't affect me, but you already know that was bull.
The amount of low blows the transfer on this show right here, boy.
You already know that was bull.
We're going to have to get some ice for the lower abdomen area. Everybody needs some ice after this.
Matty Ice and the Pirate is an autumn wind. I believe the next line is, it'll pick you up, knock you round,
something like that. Yeah,
but Great poem.
Another sound clip we're going to have to incorporate into the show, I see.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Matty Ice says UConn men's looks unstoppable right now, just crushing teams. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. But so on the women's side,
NC State and Duke, and then we got Purdue and Tennessee. And that'll get us to our Final Four. Because UConn and Alabama, that you guys have so eloquently put, knocked out North Carolina, are in the Final Four. And I'm happy for you guys that you don't have to deal with me with UNC being in the finals. I would have been unbearable. But I did take a financial hit because, yeah, I had UNC, Tennessee, UConn, and Marquette in my Final Four.
Okay.
And I, you know me, I bet it.
But the game that everybody's looking forward to is on the women's side tomorrow night, 7:15.
Is that LSU?
Yes, reigning champs, LSU Lady Tigers versus the Iowa Lady Hawkeyes. Everybody is looking forward to that. I picked that, and I said that's going to be your matchup.
Who are you picking?
I picked Iowa in that one.
No.
Yeah, I picked Iowa in that one. I got Iowa going all the way to LSU.
I think the only way that Iowa wins is if, like, the refs sup them out. I don't see them beating LSU.
I think they get ran. I think Iowa gets ran through, like, X-Lax. I think it's, like, a 20-point victory. I just don't see them staying with them. Like, you know, Caitlin Clark probably have a monster game, you know, in the 40s, and they still going to lose by, like, 15.
The game of this weekend is – or of that series is the USC – the Juju Watkins versus Paige Buckets. I think that's the game that people are going to sleep on and not appreciate the way we should.
And they're not going to appreciate it because you're getting a rematch of the last year's national championship on the women's side, and it's so much between that whole Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese thing. So, and, you know, it's good TV, good drama, but, you know, definitely pay attention to the games.
I forgot about this. Texas is still in the thing. And if anybody knows about Texas, if you got Instagram, you go to Sidney Carter on Instagram. Coach Sidney.
It's Coach Sidney.
I don't mean to belittle this moment of athletic achievement, but I mean, God is good all the time on a Sunday morning. Yes, indeed.
All right, last but not least, fellas, what you eating today?
Whoa, while we're here, talking about God being good, let's just talk about yesterday. So yesterday I got some cold chicken, and like the good book says, everybody need a transformation. So I put the cold chicken in the microwave and made it warm chicken. And now, yes, through the process of putting heat on something and making it transform itself to become its better part, my cold chicken became warm chicken, which became good chicken. And I must leave it at that, brother. I'm sorry.
Boss, what you eating today?
I haven't decided yet. You know, I'll be at work. So I can't eat but so much. So, I don't know. It's going
to
be
like you have the rule. You have the rule that I used to have. Like, I had because I used to work at a spot where I was out in, like, the field. Well, this doesn't sound like slavery, but I was out I used to scan cars in, but it was like 15 minutes for me to get back to the big house. So I didn't eat. I didn't eat McDonald's. I didn't eat like anything that I knew that might have like a situation. Like, you got to be careful because you don't want to eat that and then turn around and have like the BGs. And I'm not talking about the singing group. I'm talking about
more than a woman.
Ain't no feeling like running with your butt cheeks clenched.
Oh, that's the whole other. Oh God, I'm not even gonna go into that.
So yeah. For me, hey, that's your brother-in-law. For me,
you gotta worry about a man pun. I don't know if y'all heard about a man pun, but everyone there, you need a man pun.
For me, it's a meatloaf. The wife made meatloaf, and it was I had it for. She made it yesterday.
Y'all using that ground up turtle I sent y'all?
Yes. Yes. And
you know, yesterday seemed so far away.
But it was late last night, and I had that during the WrestleManiacs last night. And oh my goodness. Oh, absolutely immaculate. Not only that, she made bread. And I don't mean rolls or anything. No, she made loaf bread. Sandwich bread, I'm sorry. And it is absolutely delectable. First time doing it, and she knocked it out of the park. So I got to give her a prop for that. Huh? It's a
any bread left? Like it's about,
what's that, about six slices left? Four? Oh, it's four slices left. It's enough for two meatloaf sandwiches.
Y'all got that. But yeah,
she said she'll make you some.
I'm rolling through. I'm rolling through, bro.
It's today. She got to wait for it to heal, but she said she'll make you some. She got you.
Okay. Nah, because today we're making, we're doing a pot roast. A roast.
Carrots and potatoes? I've had it sitting.
So, CKG, you're trying to make my cooking job harder than I want it to be. I'm trying to be lazy today because it's Sunday. But I do have a craving for some fried potatoes. So if things work out, we might have fried potatoes with this roast. And then I'm also do spaghetti with the onions and peppers and everything else. So yeah.
Okay. Hold on.
Like when I leave this, when I finish the show, there's like a 30-minute window where I cook.
Let me say this. Okay. Two things. You said fried potatoes. And whenever we get to talking about fried potatoes and B, you know this. My grandmother used to call home and be like, hey, let's do fried potatoes for dinner tonight. My grandmother had this big frying pan. One summer, my mother bought a 50-pound bag of fried potatoes. Me and my grandmother punished that bag in a month.
God dang.
Like, we was killing it. She made fried potatoes for breakfast to go with scrapple and eggs and everything. For lunch, we had French fries. For dinner, we had fried potatoes. Like, we was killing it. Killing it.
Yeah.
And when you say fried potatoes, that's what it always thinks about. I always think about, because I'm older now, so I can't eat the potatoes like that anymore. But on this...
I think I'm going to do fried potatoes with green peppers and onions. And I'm going to try to make like a... I'm gonna try to put together a nice enough butter sauce or butter thing to go with it. And then I think with the roast, I'm gonna stuff the roast with onions and peppers because I already got it marinating. Like right now, I seasoned it yesterday and I didn't put it in the freezer. I got it sitting out. So that flavor should hold. And I think I might, Before I do the skillet for the potatoes, I might put the roast in the skillet and sear it.
Yep.
And then I'm not putting it in the crock pot. I'm putting it in the oven.
You gonna put it in the bag or you just gonna put it in the pan?
I'm putting it in the oven pan and we're gonna be good to go from there.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about. I ain't done the oven bags in a minute.
The wife said
I already knew where she was going with this. No, I don't have a Dutch oven. That's like the next get on the shopping list.
Okay. By this being Easter weekend, I hope everybody enjoys themselves. For us, Easter weekend used to come in April. It used to be, you know, out of school Good Friday, out of school Easter Monday, and then out of school the rest of the week. And that was a special time for me. Because my godmother, I would go to her house on Good Friday and she would have this pot. I have the pot now. and she would fill it up with sauerkraut, and it had smoked sausage all through it. So I had that to munch on all weekend. My mouth is watering right now because I really need sauerkraut and smoked sausage. So that may be plans for dinner one day this week. Yeah. But hopefully everybody enjoys their day. Enjoy, have a good, productive week. The Boss BJ, the Midnight Rider, myself, we will be back on Tuesday. We'll talk a little NCAA and maybe some NBA as well, because, you know, playoffs are ramping up. And I got a question for you guys. You know, I'm just going to put a pin in it, but let's just say Draymond Green, and I'll leave it at that, because I got a question coming on Tuesday.
All right.
So, any final thoughts from the Boss BJ? Because you've been quiet over there, brother.
No final thoughts. Thanks for everybody, you know, participating and watching. Check out our previous shows. If you haven't, like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff.
Yes, build the community, baby. And the People's Choice, Don Rodriguez, did something last night that was really good. I got to leave you guys with this. Iconic photo from Friday night. And we have collectively named them Black Girl Magic.
I'm not even going to comment. Because I don't have a... Like, there's a comment that's not... let's go ahead and end the show, and then I'll make my comment.
All right, everybody, enjoy your Easter. Enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy your Monday. We'll see you on Tuesday.
We out.
And we don't do no overtime. We out of here.